1967, a year when space missions focused on the Moon, Venus, the Sun, and the Earth. A year where research, through the air and on the ground, provided new stepping stones for flights of the future.
1967, an eventful 12 months for space and aeronautical activities. Coming up, a look back to the details.
NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, presents a special report. 1967, the year in aeronautics and space.
Unmanned exploration of the moon. That was the mission for two series of automated spacecraft during the past year. Three lunar orbiter flights and three successful moon landing efforts by Surveyor had the major job of photographically scouting a number of specific sites under consideration for the first manned landings. Both types of craft were equipped with sophisticated camera systems designed to snap and transmit back to Earth high-quality photos of lunar terrain. Lunar orbiters' pictures, taken from low and high altitudes above the moon, not only charted potential manned landing areas, but also scientifically photographed the entire lunar surface, both front and hidden sides. Surveyor spacecraft succeeded in softly setting down on three widely separated areas along the moon's equator. Besides detailed photography of each landing site, chemical analyzers aboard Surveyor discovered that lunar soil composition is similar to that of the Earth. And the missions reinforced previous data showing that the surface is strong enough to support man. Another Surveyor experiment resulted in the first launch of a vehicle from the surface of the moon. Rocket engines of Surveyor 6 were briefly ignited in November, lifting the vehicle off the surface and moving it 8 feet from its original position. With the lunar orbiter program now completed and Surveyor flights about to conclude, NASA's Assistant Director for Lunar Flights, Captain Lee Scherer, spoke recently of what the missions have told us so far.
They have shown us that the moon is a complex and scientifically interesting place for further exploration by man. And they have paved the way for that first manned landing. This will be accomplished along the equatorial belt of the moon. In this zone, the 8 smoothest sites have been selected from orbiter photography. Into 4 of these, surveyors have landed. The next step is that historic moment when man first sets foot on the lunar surface.
These radio signals were received on Earth from another far-flying space probe during 1967. The date, October 19th. The scene, NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California, as Mariner 5 passed by the planet Venus.
This is it. This is the predicted point of closest approach according to all trajectory calculations. 2,480 miles above the surface. Speed 19,122 miles per hour. Top speed, closest approach.
It was Mariner 5's job to make detailed measurements of Venus and its environment. Measurements made from 2,000 miles above the planet's surface. Major experiments studied and relayed back to Earth vast quantities of scientific information, including data on the planet's atmosphere, temperatures, and magnetic fields. Some preliminary results? The Venusian atmosphere is dense, closely compacted, and primarily composed of carbon dioxide. No magnetic fields or trapped radiation belts were found. Temperatures near the surface and farther up in the atmosphere appeared to be in excess of 500 degrees Fahrenheit. Detailed results will be presented in the near future following thorough analysis of the data. This was the 1967 sound of an unmanned space mission closer to home. The 4th Orbiting Geophysical Observatory, launched last July, is continuing to transmit important scientific data to the ground about the Earth and its environment. Dubbed a streetcar satellite, this geophysical observatory is transporting a load of 20 different experiments through an orbit around Earth to investigate in detail such things as the atmosphere and ionosphere. 2 orbiting solar observatories, OSO for short, were sent aloft during the year to investigate the workings of our nearest star. From Earth orbit, OSO is designed to look at ultraviolet and X-rays emitted by the sun. These rays are not visible to ground-based observers, and studies of them from space will help scientists understand how the sun works and how its workings affect us and the other planets.
Clipper 162, this is Goddard Test Control, over. Gunner test control from Clipper 162. Roger. Loud and clear. A perfect signal. Our ETA for London is...
This conversation was made possible by an applications technology satellite launched this past November 5th. ATS, as it's called, is a research spacecraft designed to test and prove out new designs, equipment, and techniques in space for applications to missions of the future. This spacecraft sent to the ground experimental color weather photographs of the Earth's entire face. Advanced communication systems on board ATS resulted in the conversation you're hearing between a Pan-American airplane over the Atlantic Ocean en route to London and a ground station at NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. Presently, aircraft flying over the ocean are out of touch with the ground for as much as an hour, a limitation which can be corrected by satellites like ATS. In 1967, a biosatellite carried millions of living cells, plants, frog eggs, and insects into orbit. For a subsequent recovery and post-flight studies to determine the effects of weightlessness and radiation on life in space. Two Explorer satellites were sent aloft to study interplanetary particles and magnetic fields in space. Hundreds of small scientific sounding rockets were launched during the year, many in cooperation with foreign countries. And six operational Earth satellites, launched by NASA for the Weather Bureau and for the Communications Satellite Corporation, are continuing to provide man with space-based resources to meet day-to-day needs.
Advanced research was another major area of concern for NASA in 1967. Advanced research, developing air and space capabilities for the future, just as yesterday's research resulted in our present state of the art. The year's aeronautical research focused on problems associated with supersonic and hypersonic transportation of the near and distant future. You are listening to the country's largest supersonic airplane, the XB-70. Shaped like a giant prehistoric bird, the XB-70 was test flown in 1967 to study handling and flight characteristics in support of commercial supersonic transport soon to become a reality. The X-15 rocket plane, an experimental craft designed to test structures, pilot performance, and handling qualities in the hypersonic region of flight, that is, above five times the speed of sound. X-15 missions begin at a 40,000-foot altitude, where they're launched from beneath the wing of a B-52 mother plane. Flights of about 10 minutes duration take the rocket-powered vehicles on arching trajectories to the fringe of space, followed by re-entry into the Earth's atmosphere and subsequent landings on a dry lake bed in California. In 1967, one X-15 plane piloted by Major William Knight attained a new speed record of over 4,500 miles an hour, while 6 weeks later a crash claimed the life of Major Michael Adams, the first X-15 fatality since the program began. Additional aircraft research during the year included wind tunnel studies and actual flight tests of experimental planes that can take off and land vertically, but which can fly forward at conventional speeds. Jet noise reduction, new engine development, better structural materials, and advanced electronic systems for aircraft also received major attention. Research for space missions of the future ranged from flight tests of wingless lifting body craft capable of returning from spaceflight and landing like conventional airplanes to work on new methods of rocket propulsion.
Three, two, one, fire. Igniter release to track.
It was mid-June when this static firing took place. The sound of a giant new type of rocket motor which burns rubber-like solid fuel rather than the more common liquid propellants. Studies with rocket propulsion provided by nuclear and electric energy continue during the year. The more efficient nuclear or electric engines are considered a necessity for many space missions under consideration for the future. Advanced air and space research reached a milestone in October when NASA's Langley Research Center, Hampton, Virginia, celebrated its 50th anniversary of service to the nation. Langley began its pioneering aeronautical work in 1917 and through the years has represented a major driving force in developing this country's present air capabilities. After officially entering the space age in 1958, Langley research resulted in Project Mercury and man's first step into space, as well as Echo communications balloons, the Lunar Orbiter program, Gemini and Apollo heat shield, guidance, and navigation groundwork, and today, work at the Langley Center is focused on the future.
Manned spaceflight in 1967 began tragically on January 27th, when astronauts Grissom, White, and Chaffee lost their lives during ground tests at Cape Kennedy. Fire in the spacecraft claimed this initial Project Apollo crew. Detailed research into the cause has resulted in modification of the spacecraft, including a new quick-opening escape hatch, fireproofing of the vehicle's interior, and revised safety precautions and rescue procedures on the launch pad. Today, the modified Apollo spacecraft is nearly ready for the first manned flight in 1968. Its crew will be astronauts Schirra, Eisley, and Cunningham, who've been in full training for many months now. In August, NASA announced the selection of a new group of astronauts, 11 men chosen with an emphasis on their scientific backgrounds rather than their previous piloting experience. At the time of the announcement, astronaut Chief Alan B. Shepard commented,
"Actually, the newest group of 11 will be brought on board for a period of about 6 months, during which time we will bring them up to a common level of engineering and technical experience, background. From that point, they will go to flight training, which will take about a year. After the year's period in flight training, they'll return here and we'll start to train them specifically in the systems of the spacecraft. Then they can be expected to be available for assignment to a flight crew."
On November 9th, the country took a giant step forward toward man's moon landing goals. The scene, NASA's new Kennedy Space Center, Florida. It was 7 a.m.
Ignition. All engines are running. We have liftoff. We have liftoff at 7 a.m.
The mission was called Apollo 4. And the main job was to test fly the giant Saturn V rocket for the first time. Saturn V, latest and largest version in a series of Saturn boosters, and the workhorse slated to lift astronauts toward the moon. Atop the 28-story Saturn was the unmanned Apollo 4 spacecraft to be placed into Earth orbit and checked during re-entry to see if its protective heat shield could withstand lunar mission return velocities. The results? Saturn V and its Apollo spacecraft performed flawlessly from liftoff of the giant rocket to splashdown and recovery of the unmanned capsule in the Pacific. NASA's Deputy Administrator, Dr. Robert Siemens, elaborated on the success and significance of the Apollo 4 mission.
"We know that we have obtained a great deal of important data. Just the conduct of the mission itself gives us very valuable information, so that we will have a great deal of information to analyze and to evaluate. And we know that this is extremely important for the upcoming succession of flights that will lead to and certainly include the lunar landing. But I believe that more important even than this is the clear indication that our team of government, industry, and university people was not found wanting, and that we do have the capacity in this country to be preeminent, not only in space, but in all human endeavor involving science and technology."
NASA, the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, has presented a special report, 1967, the year in aeronautics and space. This is Willard Scott with Kennedy Ludlam and Ed Walker.